Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Thursday, 22nd October 2020. We shall continue with our Heart Sutta version 2. We are at page 244, last paragraph. The subheading is the three phases of Dhamma, Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. We will go through it again. Then later on, we will move on to the next topic, which is the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. So this one is a very comprehensive topic. By the time we complete this, we would have completed almost all of Appendix 6, a few more pages to go. And I think very soon we will finish our Heart Sutta sharing. As usual, we will off the light and you can have half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Just relax body and mind completely. And maintain awareness to realize your true mind, to realize your awareness nature within. Just stay with that awareness. No need to do anything, no need to know. And just be a silent observer. Silently allowing the awareness to develop the understanding. Okay, I will set the alarm now. And we can have all half an hour of silent awareness-based meditation. For those who need to use the skillful means to anchor your mind to develop the stability or sati, you can. Or if you need to use the skillful means, mind sweeping method combined with metta, to decondition your heedless thinking, to stabilize your sati, you can also do it. It's up to you. So more important is, finally, you have the ability to meditate. So the fastest way to go into meditation is to develop the five spiritual faculty to counter the mental hindrance. But if you have not done that, you still want to meditate, and you use some skillful means. It's up to you. Then the other way is, after you have the understanding, the fastest way is to just relax body and mind completely, then maintain awareness, to be aware, to realize the silent mind, your true mind. That's it. Then the meditation will take off and progress accordingly. Okay. We are at the last section. The three phases of Dhamma. They are Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. So, according to the Buddha, the Dhamma that he teaches, we can cultivate over three phases. Basically, it's actually the first two phases. Phase one is called Pariyatti. It is the learning of the teaching or the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. So there are ways to do it. That's why after that, under the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, I will explain the way to do it. This phase one is most important, Pariyatti. You have to do it correctly. Then when you develop the correct understanding of the teaching, then only you can put it to practice. Then phase two Dhamma become easy. Phase two is called Patipatti. Patipatti is the cultivation part. After you have studied the teaching, you can put it into practice or cultivation. So putting the Dhamma learned into practice in daily life or in cultivation in daily life so that it can become a living reality. That is the main intent of phase two. You can cultivate it or develop it until you awaken to it, then you can live it. It becomes a living reality. When you can do that, you can move into the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda. Pativeda is the final phase after you have realized the enlightenment, awakened to the teaching. Then you reap the fruit of your hard work or your cultivation. Then you can get to live the noble life of an enlightened being. And third phase of Dhamma is the most beautiful phase of your life. All of life accumulate into the third phase of Dhamma. Without this understanding, your life will be miserable. You will not be able to understand life and live life. Then you will not be able to understand the way to live quality, noble life. So this understanding of the Dhamma through the three phases are very important. At least after completing phase one, after you have learned the teaching, you are ready in certain aspect of understanding to actually make use of the teaching. Then because you have not completed phase two Dhamma, you find it very difficult to apply the teaching or to live life using that teaching, to develop the ability to make that Dhamma a part of your life, a living reality. So that is the problem for most people, most cultivated. But if you were to develop the clear understanding and cultivate accordingly, it's not difficult. You can awaken to it, you can realize it, and you can have the ability to make it into a living reality. Then you hold the embodiment of the Dhamma understanding. Then Dhamma can be a part of your nature. Then you can live life following the Dhamma way, which is the most beautiful way. Then after that, you get to reap the fruit of your hard work, accumulating into phase three Dhamma, where you need to live the life of an enlightened being, the noble life of an enlightened being. And this is the most meaningful phase of your life, most beautiful and most wonderful. Under this phase, you will develop a lot of joy, a lot of understanding, a lot of happiness. And you can fully live life. You can live life to the fullest and the highest. You can get to experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. Then life take a turn. Life become meaningful, wonderful. And you can really be a blessing to all. The life that is free of all suffering, free of all life misery, is not easy to have. So this phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, is indeed a very unique phase. It is only possible for those who really develop the wisdom, the love, the compassion, and the virtue and the understanding to have this type of life. So living this phase of life is the ultimate aim of all Buddhist cultivator, Buddhist practitioner. So as a Buddhist, we should cherish what the Buddha has taught us. We should endeavor to cultivate these three phases of Dhamma diligently, with faith, then we must sincerely persevere. So sadha, virya, and perseverance will bring forth the way. So this is the summary of the three phases of Dhamma. Then how to do it, we will move on to the next topic. The next topic is the spiritual faculty, five spiritual faculty, link up with the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, then the three phases of Dhamma cultivation on the right. So if you look at the table that we have developed for you, you will understand. First is the five spiritual faculty, on the left hand corner. Then the three turning of the four noble truths. That is how to develop it. Then finally, you get to experience all these three phases of Dhamma cultivation. So under the first phase of Dhamma, which is Pariyatti, we can develop it with Sadha and Virya. Sadha is the spiritual faculty of faith. When you have listened to the Dhamma, when you have investigated into the Dhamma, then when you realize that it stands up to investigation, and when you have understood how special a being the Buddha is, he is not only enlightened, he is the fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom and virtue. You can say at that time when he arrived, Sakyamuni Buddha, 2600 years ago, he is the wisest and the most virtuous teacher ever to be born. So to have such a great being to be our teacher and our guide, our faith in him will be very, very stable, very strong, unshakable. Then we will have great gratitude towards him because his teaching is so wonderful, so powerful. That's why our faith becomes very strong. His teaching not only can teach you how to understand life, it can also make you enlightened so that you don't have to suffer anymore. The moment you understand his teaching, you awaken to the truth and you don't have to suffer anymore. Then this Sadha, or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, will drive you to cultivate. That's how Virya come to be. Virya is a type of spiritual zeal, Z-E-A-L, or tenacity, to go this way, where you see the importance of going this way to cultivate his teaching, to realize his teaching. That's why phase one of Dhamma, the learning of the teaching, become very important and very interesting to you. That's how you go into it. So with Sadha and Virya, you will develop the initial cultivation, means the learning of the teaching. So Pariyatti is developed through Sutamaya Panya. Sutamaya Panya is the first turning, wisdom, means wisdom born of hearing the sutta. But nowadays we can read about the sutta, or we can listen to Dhamma talk or recording, read out on the books, notes, internet, etc. So nowadays, Sutamaya Panya become more easy. The access to information has become more easy. But the only setback is, especially the internet nowadays and the textbook, not every information there is authentic. You have to have the ability to screen them. Otherwise, you can become gullible and you can get trapped. So that is the danger. But during the Buddha's time is different, because the teaching that he proclaimed, you have the opportunity to be born during the era and have the opportunity to listen to his teaching, is definitely authentic, 100% authentic. And you can be around there. His nature, his perfection, his wisdom, and his vibration of very, very pure, beautiful energy can really help awaken living beings. That's why during the time of the Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha, a lot of monks and his disciples and even lay people, even the devas and the non-humans, they awaken to his truth and his teaching and his sharing. But the only setback is you don't have the opportunity to be there and then to hear his teaching. Then you have to really depend on Ananda to repeat it. So during that time, technology, science was not so developed. There is no such thing as a recorder or a CD player or even cassette tape, where you can record them and play it back. Then there was no writing too. So a lot of these things were not around. That's why it has its pro and con. Nowadays everything is there, but the problem is the opposite. The authentic teaching is very difficult to combine. But nowadays we all depend on commentators, all this author who write all this book, and all these people who give the Dharma talk, the sharing, that holds all the seminar and put notes in Buddhist teaching or information into the internet, but not all are authentic. Most of them have lost their real potency to awaken living beings. Most of them have become distorted over time. And it's no longer the authentic true teaching. It don't no longer have the power to awaken. So all these are the pros and cons. So we have to really be very careful when we do that. So whatever it is, you have to learn how to develop the ability to screen all this teaching, and you have to apply what the Buddha taught us, Dharma investigation. He said this Dhamma, because it is the truth, it will stand up to investigation. That's why he said, Ehi Pasiko, you are welcome to examine the teaching, to investigate into the teaching. Does this teaching, being the truth, stands up to investigation? So you don't have to worry. So this phase of pariyatti, the learning of the teaching, is very important. First, you go through hearing, listening to the teaching, the recording. Then you can hold Dhamma discussion and all those things. Or you can organize retreat, or even Dhamma sharing, seminar, workshop, and all those things. Then at the same time, there are also made available the books, the recordings, the teachings, the notes. There are a wealth of material within the internet. You can Google them. Then you have the various author or speakers who share different Dhamma. You can listen to them and screen through it. The most important thing is to have an open mind to listen. Then investigation is very important. Dhamma investigation depends on the individual. If you don't have the good roots, karmic conditioning is such, you will face a lot of karmic obstacle. Then it's very difficult for you to receive the Dhamma. But if you have good karmic roots, you will always have the condition to receive the good Dhamma. That's the reason why the Buddha actually recommended under phase one of Dhamma, pariyatti, after every session or sharing or whatever, the Buddha always have a closing puja. He recommended the pre-puja and the post-puja. So the post-puja, he always introduce a few things, yeah? Share merit, transfer merit, and rejoice in all this wholesomeness. Then after that, invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for the cultivator to avoid the foolish and the heedless. Always meet out with the wise and the enlightened one, so that enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized. So if you do this with understanding and you do it properly, then it will give rise to causes and conditions for you to always have the right Dhamma affinity to receive Dhamma. You will have the ability to avoid the foolish and the heedless. Then you will most of the time meet out with the wise, enlightened one, so that you can develop the understanding of the teaching, the enlightenment and the awakening as soon as possible. So all these are important understanding. That's why as we develop the cultivation, we must make use of all this and move into all this. Yeah. So making vows, making aspiration, asking for forgiveness to break our karmic offense, to actually develop the understanding of Dhamma is very important. So I always recommend three things, my nature, whatever happened. First, acknowledge that whatever coming negativity that you have arisen, this is not conducive for the holy life, the spiritual life. Therefore, you have to really, really ask for forgiveness if you have committed them. So asking for forgiveness is very important. Then after you ask for forgiveness, you must vow not to repeat all this, so that in future, your life will be taken care of. Karma will be protected. So to do that, you have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, cultivate wholesomeness, then meditate to purify your mind, to awaken. Then after that, you have to develop the training of the mind to learn the teaching. That's why phase one of Dhamma will come in. So when you develop phase one of Dhamma, listening to Dhamma, then developing the understanding through Dhamma, contemplation, reflection, and other things, including Dhamma discussion, it will stabilize the understanding that you have heard or developed. So that is the second turning wisdom. So from Sutamaya Panya, the first turning wisdom, born of hearing or including reading, etc., listening from the recording, etc., nowadays, we move on to the second turning, which is Chintamaya Panya. Chintamaya Panya means the wisdom born of the second turning, which is after you have heard the teaching or read about the teaching, then you contemplate, reflect, and inquire deep into this teaching so that you can stabilize and assimilate all of the Dhamma understanding that you have heard and read about, to set the base for further understanding later on via any other first, second, or third turning. So this second turning wisdom is very important. Constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. So if you do that, you will progress. So what happens is, after you have asked for forgiveness, vow not to repeat all this, then you cultivate the understanding of the teaching, develop pariyati, first turning wisdom through Sutamaya Panya, then Chintamaya Panya. This will allow you to develop a lot of understanding, a lot of wisdom to enable you to straighten your views. And it will also develop a lot of merits or wholesomeness. But when you start to listen to Dhamma, it's a meritorious action. Then when you straighten your view, it's also a meritorious action. And when you rejoice, it's also a meritorious action. Then when you share that teaching, it's a meritorious action. Then the pre-puja and the post-puja, where you develop the cultivation of the 10 meritorious action, they are dana, sila, and bhavana. So dana is generosity. You have a lot of opportunity to cultivate generosity when you develop pariyati. Means when you start to go to the temple or attend dhamma classes or go to spiritual places, there is a lot of opportunity for you to do generosity. You can offer food to the monks or the lay people or the temple. You can contribute generously to the building of the dhamma, the construction of the temples, the buildings, and all. And you can also generously sponsor day-to-day needs and activity of the temple or organization or the way place, the maintenance and development and operation. Then you can also sponsor the food that they cook for the monks and the lay people. Then there's a lot of other charity that are possible, because most of this Buddhist way place or temple, they have a lot of very notable charity projects. Sometimes education fund, sometimes to help the poor, then to sponsor many of these like nature's disaster relief projects. So when certain things happen, they will start fundraising, and sometimes even recycling your old clothing, your things that you no longer need, you can donate it for recycling. There are many opportunities. So dana can be cultivated when you are doing pariyatti, when you are with the Buddhist organization, with your diligent and faith and understanding. Then the second one is sila. You will commit yourself to renew your precept, like every session we do. We renew all 5 precepts. So keeping precept is very meritorious. It's a meritorious action. Then you normally sit meditation, like what we did, silent awareness-based meditation. It is very wholesome, very meritorious. Then after that, you can help out, service to the community. Then the others is like you pay respect to the triple gem, to the worthy ones. This constitutes meritorious action. Then listening to Dhamma, straightening your view, sharing the merits, transferring merits, rejoicing. Then you can also the gift of truth. So all these are meritorious action, and there are 10 of them. And with these merits that you develop over time of cultivation of phase one dhamma, you can invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to help you in whatever you want. So this is how the 3 way that I always share and teach you all can help you develop the progress along the path of Dhamma, and also help you overcome whatever problem you may have. So invoking power of merits is very important. And asking for forgiveness to break coming offenses is also very important. Then vow not to repeat all this. We are following the advice of the Buddha. So all these are very important cultivation. So this phase one Dhamma, you have to do it right so that you understand, so that you can summarize the whole teaching. Actually, the Buddha, in many parts of his teaching, he emphasized only on one thing, heedfulness. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. the heedful never die, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So it's very clear. So we need to understand what is heedfulness. Dhammapada verse 23 define heedfulness. Heedfulness constitute two parts. Ever mindful, constantly meditating. So if you want to develop heedfulness, you have to train your mind to be mindful first, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, and then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path or the meditation as taught by the Buddha so that you can be constantly meditating. Then you are heedful. And the whole cultivation is just so simple. And you can make use of that under phase two of Dhamma. Then the final conclusion on the right hand side is phase one of Dhamma cultivation, Pariyatti, is the learning of the teaching or the doctrine to develop a very stable understanding of this teaching so that when you move into phase two Dhamma, you are very clear. You are not gullible. You are not like normal people, very eager to go into the practice and the cultivation without having clear understanding of the teaching. You cannot develop something very well if you don't understand what that thing is. That is an obvious fact. That's why phase one Dhamma Pariyatti, be patient, do not rush into it, develop it slowly, clearly. When I started, I remember, there are certain things I want to understand, and I take my time to develop the clear understanding. But my nature was different because of its past. That's why a lot of things I realized, it just come to me, and I didn't really learn from people. My nature just had the condition to receive them, and the moment I heard about it, I receive it, or I read about it, my nature understand. Initially, I thought most people were like me, but later on, when I came out to share, I realized not so. That's why not everyone is the same. Then I realized I had to really, really go back to very basic, to teach very basic, essential Dhamma. Because when most people, including cultivator or so-called Buddhists, don't even have a clear understanding of the essential Dhamma, how can we teach them? That's why I reversed the whole teaching. I went back to the Four Noble Truths is three turning. Then I expanded on the essential Dhamma, the key, few important essential Dhamma, and zero in on it. Those who follow my classes, they will know. I center around just these few things, the five mental hindrance that make you heedless because you don't have the five spiritual faculty, the opposite five. So this pair of Dhamma is very important. The lack of the five spiritual faculty give rise to the opposite five mental hindrance. And most human beings who didn't train their mind, didn't have the ability to develop the spiritual faculties, they will end up heedless because of the mental hindrance. What are mental hindrance? Mental hindrance are mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. And what are these five mental hindrance? Sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, then skeptical doubt, or last one is skeptical doubt. The fourth one is restlessness of mind, born of your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So when you have this mental hindrance, it will hinder you from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot meditate. Your mind becomes restless, full of doubt. Then throughout the day, when you go through life, every moment of sense experience, you stir your mind, you react to sense experience. You react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So when you do that, it becomes habitual tendency. So your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, these are your first two mental hindrances, sensual desire and ill will. If you keep on arising them within every moment of sense experience, then what will happen? This will develop into habitual tendencies. That's why this habitual tendency will continuously make you hideous, because throughout the day, you are arising mental hindrance and making you hideous. And that's how living beings become hideous. They think a lot. They worry a lot. They are very restless. And they have a lot of doubt. They don't understand life. They don't know what to do. And the only tool or instrument that they are familiar with is the thought process. They think a lot. Then they project their thought to develop fear, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. Then they worry a lot. Then they have a lot of problems. First, number two, reality. So this is how I share and teach. Then from there, the whole teaching comes about. And after that, you understand life, because it's all related to life. The first noble truth, reality. Then the first turning, second turning, and the third turning. How to develop the understanding. And how from there, you develop the clear understanding of pariyatti, leading to patipatti. Then how from the mental hindrance and the spiritual faculty, we develop the other essential dhamma. When the spiritual faculties are developed, we have faith, sadha, virya, that drive us to cultivate sati. Then once we develop sati, mindfulness, we stabilize it into samadhi, then we can see things as they are. Then the other essential dhamma will arise. Then we can see the three evil roots. And we develop understanding of the three evil roots. They are the roots of all evil. Greed, hatred, and delusion. When you have them in your mind state, it makes you evil. So to avoid all evil, you have to root out all these evil roots. You have to abandon them. You have to arise the appropriate form and effort. So that's how we develop the understanding. Then, based on the Buddha's advice, the law of karma, we go into the five daily contemplation to help us understand the first noble truth reality. Then the fifth contemplation, the Buddha always emphasized among you have to reflect on this every day. He said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if karma plays such a great role in our life, what must we do? We have to take care of karma, isn't it? That's how the advice of the Buddha come about. So the Buddha say, if that is so, then you have to take care of karma. How do you take care of karma? You have to follow his advice, Dhammapada verse 183, which he recites, Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyuddhapanam etang bunana sasana. And these three basic advice of all Buddhas are very beautiful. First advice is sabbe means all, papasa. Papasa means evil, akaranam, you have to avoid. Avoiding all evil is the first advice. How do we avoid all evil? We already developed the study. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion constitute major evil. Then he introduced the five precepts for lay people and the monk to keep so that you can avoid all the major evils. Yeah, these five precepts constitute major evil. You violate them, you commit major evil. So to avoid all evil, you have to actually take care of precepts. And these five precepts is very basic, but most important, where they are major evils. Then the second advice is to cultivate wholesomeness. So sabbapapasa akaranam, you avoid evil, all evil. Then kusalesa upasampadan. Kusala means wholesome, meritorious action, wholesomeness. Wherever there is condition for wholesomeness to arise, you have to develop them, cultivate them, then finally refine upon them and perfect them. So to do this, we have to follow his teaching, Noble Eightfold Path, from right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. So that's how we cultivate the virtue, the wholesomeness, the goodness, the meritorious action. So after avoiding all evil, we have to develop mindfulness to be able to be aware of the evil. Then we have to arise the right effort to abandon the evil roots, the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood. Then we have to prevent it from arising through wisdom, initial wisdom and understanding. Well, once we reflect, contemplate, and understand clearly, the moment it arises, we see the danger. Then straight away through that wisdom and the understanding of the danger, we can straight away arise the second right effort to prevent it from arising. It will not arise anymore. Immediately subsides. Where it's like you have seen it and now you have tormented me long enough. You have deceived me long enough. These are wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, evils, roots of all evil. That's how it subsides. Then we arise the right effort to cultivate the appropriate right speech, right action, and right thought that are still not in us, so that we can live the noble life, the appropriate, wholesome, virtuous life of a true cultivator. So this third right effort is very important. After you have started cultivating it, then you can move on to the fourth right effort to refine upon this right thought, right speech, right action, and right way of living life until you are able to perfect it, until it becomes a part of your nature, so that you have the embodiments of the Noble Eightfold Path. This type of cultivation is very important. Then from there, you move on to the third advice of the Buddha, Sacitta Paridappanam Etang Buddhana Sasana. So Sacitta, Citta is mind, purify the mind to develop wisdom, to develop the direct seeing, the awakening, to have the ability to insight into the reality, what is the truth. So all this understanding is very important, and the Buddha said these are the advice of all Samasambuddha. When they come, they give the same advice. As I Dhammapada verse 183 is very powerful, very important, and we need to actually develop it, go into it. So this is how the cultivation is to be developed. So when I center around these few essential dhamma, it will link up to all the other teaching, even the seven factors of enlightenment, Avijja Sutta, the 10th step, all came from there. Then we can slowly actually expand it into the seven stages of purification, Satta, Visuddhi. Then we have the expansion of the seven factors of enlightenment into the 37 factors of enlightenment, or the Bhujangas. Then the Four Noble Truths, we also expanded on it. Then the Satipatthana Sutta, we also expanded on it. So all of the essential Dhamma, they can be understood. And the teaching is not difficult if you really pay attention to phase one Dhamma Pariyatti. Okay, so now we go back to the notes. I will move on to the second phase. Second phase of Dhamma is Patipatti, developed through Bhavana Maya Panya, the third turning wisdom, born of Bhavana cultivation or the meditative training. So this third turning wisdom is very important. Yeah, this one is very penetrative, very potent. The first two turning, most of the time, is not so penetrative or potent. But for people who have the past cultivation and perfection, they can awaken to the first and second turning. Immediately they hear truth, they awaken like Hui Ning and many of the monks during the Buddha's time. Yeah. And this is possible, not difficult. Then most of them go through second turning when they start to reflect, contemplate, inquire, then they understand deeply. Then they awaken. Then the next point to consider under this second phase of Dhamma is the moment the mind is silent without thought, you are already aware. This is the most important understanding. Without thought, the awareness, your true mind, the awareness nature is already there, all the time there. But you are distracted because of your mundane mind's proliferation thinking. Yeah, you think a lot. You are lost in thought, heedless. Why can't you be silent? Without the spiritual faculty, you are heedless. You cannot be silent. The mental hindrance make you heedless. That's the reason why you need to develop the spiritual faculty. So when you have the spiritual faculty, saddha will lead to virya. Saddha will make your mind calm and composed. Virya is a spiritual tenacity or zeal to drive you to cultivate. So you will develop the cultivation sincerely, consistently, with faith, and you will persevere until sati is established. Then when sati is established, sati is just awareness before the knowing, before the thinking, before the thought. That's how you meditate. Means to realize sati, no need to do anything. Relax and maintain awareness and let the mind settle down and return to its original state of stillness or tranquility before the arising of thought, before the stirring of the mind, before thinking arises. So when the spiritual faculty of sati is there, you are only aware, mindful, without thought. That's why you become very calm, very quiet, very tranquil, and very still. Then when you stabilize that, it becomes samadhi. That's why the meditation is relax, maintain awareness to stabilize that awareness nature, that sati, that mindfulness. No need to do anything. No need to know. Don't try to know. That one is the most important. Yeah. So if you can do that, you will progress. You will become beautiful. Yeah. So this understanding that the moment the mind is silent without thought, you are already in sati, is very important. So that you are not gullible. You don't go and follow all those people's gullible instruction, asking you to note this, note that. Using all the thought-based meditation, giving you method and technique. And what are they doing? Thought is actively doing the meditation. When thought is active, how can you be aware, mindful? How can you develop the meditation? Reflect on it, contemplate on it, then develop the understanding and don't be gullible anymore. Why go and do all those things? So this understanding is very important. Then the third point is to use this silent mind or inner awareness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That is the meditation as taught by the Buddha to become heedful. Means stabilize the mindfulness until it becomes very stable. Then you are ever mindful, then constantly meditative. That's how you become heedful. And when the moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Then the last point is a truly silent mind sees the real Dhamma. We are seeing things as they are. Whereas the heedless thinking mind with a lot of Dhamma knowledge and thought process with its views, opinion and conditioning cannot see truth. Because it always interferes with what you see. The thought come in and the thought is memory. Memory are your views, opinion and conditioning, including your phobia, your scars of memory, your insecurity, and all of the negativity of mind state, selfishness, emotional negativity, fear, doubt, and all these things. So if you use that to meditate the thought, you can't. That's why thought-based meditation will fail you. Then you cannot act according to memory. You must act according to wisdom. After developing the first, second turning and the cultivation, develop the straightening of view. Then develop that right view, which you accumulate into wisdom, yoniso manasikara. And that one will help you to understand life, to live life. And that one will prompt you at the moment of sense experience so that you won't make mistakes, so that you are not gullible, so that you are not deluded, so that ignorance can be rooted out. So only wisdom free, always remember. Without the silent mind to insight into phenomena, to see things as they are, you will be deceived by the thought process, the thinking mind, by your views, opinion, and conditioning, knowledge, everything. So this one, you need the other three spiritual faculty on the left-hand side. To do this, you need sati, accumulating into samadhi. When you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are to develop the wisdom. That's why sati, samadhi, and panya, on the left-hand side. So these are the next three spiritual faculties that you need. And after that, you will be able to stabilize the spiritual faculty until they become very stable. So this spiritual faculty will end up as spiritual powers, the five spiritual power of palace. So down here, I explain. It is difficult to cultivate patipati if you are my advice is, relative's advice, it is not difficult to cultivate patipati, this second phase of Dhamma, if you are really determined and sincere. I emphasize on it, that's why I put double really. If you are really, really determined and sincere. Just cultivate the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, and sati leading to samadhi. Samadhi is when sati is stabilized, it will accumulate into samadhi until they become unshakable, means they become balas. Yeah, they stand up to investigation. Then the mental faculties will become spiritual power or balas. Then wisdom will keep on arising and then you will awaken. Then on the right hand side, phase two Dhamma, Dhamma cultivation is patipati. This is cultivation. We are putting the Dhamma learned under phase one Dhamma into practice or cultivation in daily life so that it can become a living reality. So this part is also very important, making it into a living reality. Then there is another aspect of the Dhamma that you need to understand in the cultivation. Don't try to know when you are meditating. That one is very important. The moment you try to know, it becomes knowledge. It becomes memory. The silent mind will awaken, will realize. were insight into phenomenal and understood clearly the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, means impermanent suffering state and non-self or empty nature. So all this, you need to develop the understanding. So don't try to know, don't do anything. Just relax, maintain awareness and silence, and develop the stability of sati, the awareness nature within the silent mind. And that is the meditative mind. So that is the mind that has no thought, just aware. That's why it has clarity. It can see things as they are. It can awaken. It can insight into phenomena. So that is awareness-based meditation. So once you do that, with faith, sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, you will definitely awaken. That's why it's not difficult. After that is phase three dhamma. So phase three dhamma is pativeda. You get to reap the fruit of your cultivation or hard work. And this is the most beautiful phase of one's life, when one can truly live life to the fullest, leading a noble life of an enlightened being, living the life of an awakened one. So this is the most beautiful. Then there is a table at the end that emphasizes on the three phases of Dhamma, the three turning and all those things. And that one is very elaborate. That one is later on we will go through it. 6.4. This is the most important advice. Importance of sati to walk the path of Dhamma. Sati or mindfulness or awareness is the most important. Sati is extremely important because without sati, one will be heedless. One will not be able to follow the advice of the Buddha to strive on with heedfulness. Means to follow the advice of the Buddha. Apamadena sampadeta means strive on with heedfulness. And without sati, one will not be able to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, following his Dhammapada verse 183. Why? Because without sati, you are not sensitive. You cannot see the three yours. You doesn't have the sensitivity of mind state to actually be aware of your mental intention. Most people are using thought after they get angry or after they saw the negative evil mind state, then they through the thought recall to memory, you still have anger. That is not the right understanding. When you are mindful aware, before the anger arrives about the stir, you are sensitive, you feel it. Then when anger, even if it's able to arise, you can silence your mind and be with it. And it will cease. Then you will develop profound understanding. That's what meditation is all about. Sati. Without sati, you cannot develop the cultivation. For sati is life. Always remember that. I think Ajahn Chah mentioned that. Sati is life. Without sati, there is no life. Then without sati, one will not be able to keep one's precept, which is true, automatic. Then without sati, you cannot develop the five spiritual faculties. Without sati, you cannot cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, because this one is all on mindfulness. Mindfulness of the kaya, feeling, vedana, then the mind, citta. Then the Dhamma. Then without sati, one will not be able to investigate the Dhamma. You cannot cultivate Dhamma vichaya, which is another spiritual factors of enlightenment, a very important factor of enlightenment to deepen your faith. Then without sati, there will be no seven factors of enlightenment. The first factor of enlightenment is sati. Without sati, you cannot have the second one, Dhamma Vichaya, to investigate Dhamma. then the rest all also cannot arise. Then without sati, there will be no noble eightfold path cultivation. We have noble eightfold path cultivation includes samasati. So this shows the importance of sati. So sati is very important, because without sati, all this become impossible. Without sati, you become heedless. Then 6.5 is where the advice to meditator. This one you have to remember, so that when you meditate, you don't become gullible. You don't fall into the thought-based meditation trap. The first advice, important advice to meditator. The first advice is, don't try to know anything during meditation. When you are in the meditation, don't try to know. Yeah, what is knowing? Knowing is knowledge born of the thought process. So when your thought is active trying to know, then how can you be in the meditative state of inner awareness? You have that wanting to know is a craving, is a thinking. Then that one will want to meditate. That one will want to do things. Note this, note that. So it will become active, and that one will chatter, verbalize, do all the funny thing inside there. That is not meditation. Meditation is the silent, choiceless inner awareness to observe what is the reality within the moment. And that is meditation. Not all the verbalization, the chattering, the thought actively doing meditation, noting and do all those funny things. Then the second important advice is just silence the mind and let things be. The understanding will arise on its own. This is most profound, most difficult to understand. But you give it a try, then you will understand. The third advice is, the moment you are truly silent and relaxed, sati is already there. So don't try to be mindful. Don't try to cultivate sati, because sati cannot be cultivated. Sati is an understanding. How can you cultivate sati? When you understand that the moment you are without thought, or your natural state of your true mind before the arising of the thinking of the mundane mind, is already the awareness nature. So what must you do? Don't do anything. Let it return. Cease. That's how you realize your true mind. So the moment you are truly silent and just relax and aware, sati is already there. This is a silent mind that can meditate, that can investigate into all phenomena, and let the phenomena awaken you or tell you the story. Don't go and look for the story with your thoughts in Dhamma knowledge. Is this anicchang? Is this the three characteristics? Is this the first jnana, second jnana? All these are your thought telling you. So all this is thought-based meditation. It will lead you nowhere. So these three advice are the most important. Then I put down there the notes. The pitfall of thought-based meditation is, one is limited by the instrument that one uses to develop the meditation, hence their inability to realize enlightenment, which is beyond thought and beyond mind. So this one I think we all know. Because according to the Buddha, the Dhamma is akaliko, timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. Then one need to inquire deeply to find out for oneself who is the meditator. If it is the thought which is actively doing all the noting, labeling, chattering, verbalization, and trying to describe the Dhamma and trying to develop the meditation, then that is not the silent mind. That is not awareness. The real Dhamma can only be realized when you are truly silent. Without thought. Always remember that. Okay? So after that, you got any, you have any question? you can ask, where this topic is very useful, very important. Then the next one, how come it's 6.5 again? I think the numbering. So this one should be 6.6, I think. Yeah, or maybe 6.58. Using the silent mind to meditate. The silent mind is samasati. When your mind is silent without any thought, you will understand everything that is going on within the five mental aggregates of form and mind, and you will awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So this one, by now, I believe most of you all would have understood this sentence, this teaching. Because the silent mind is so beautiful, like I explained, this is your awareness nature. This is wisdom energy. This is your silent mind, direct seeing, observation, without thought, without perception, without labeling. That's why it's the unconditioned nothing. It's just sitting as they are. That it has this wisdom energy. It's so still, so silent. With that clarity, it can insight in the phenomenal. When the phenomenal move or changes, it can awaken. It can just insight and awaken it to the three universal characteristics. Where every phenomenon that arises exhibits the universal characteristic. I say truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? The one who see, they always see. And how to see? Not with the physical eye, with the awareness, the silent mind, it's a deep. And that one is most beautiful. So this understanding will be very important. And when you have this understanding, you go into the meditation differently. You do awareness-based meditation. You don't do thought-based meditation anymore. You will understand now. Oh, sorry. You will understand how, upon contact, consciousness come to be. And then how, within the content of consciousness, you will see how your mind stir after you input your mental intention or content of consciousness born of your wrong view. Then how, upon contact, the seven universals, which are common to all consciousness, arise simultaneously. The feeling part. You will feel it clearly, and you will understand how upon contact, feeling also arise. But because you don't have the wisdom, or you lack yoniso manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, feeling will be immediately conditioned into craving. That's how you stir your mind. Hence, without wisdom, or the yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, you cannot cut a feeling. I put inverted comma is because there is no such thing as cut a feeling. Because without wisdom, you can go and do whatever you like. Feeling will still become craving. You need wisdom. The moment you have the wisdom and the understanding, the phenomenon cannot deceive you anymore. The phenomenal world of form and consciousness have no power over you. Avijja is rooted out. Sakkaya ditti is rooted out. That's why it cannot delude you. It cannot cause your mind to stir. Then the wisdom will protect you. Thing is just the way it is. Rupang anicchang, rupang anatta, vedana anicchang, vedana anatta. Sankara anicchang, sankara anatta, then vinyanang anicchang, vinyanang anatta. So all this will be understood. Then you will also understand, you will see all this within your meditation. And that is the real direct seeing, means the silent, choiceless awareness of what is the reality. That is how you will come to understand clearly that this conditioned arising mind follow the dwelling paticca samuppada. The stirring of the mind and the reactive mind are not your true mind. They are your mundane mind. You will understand. When your mind stir and become angry, emotional, or fearful, you can check. Before there was anger, there was no anger. Before there was fear, emotional negative, there was none in it. You were peaceful. Then how did it arise? If you were to reflect, contemplate, and inquire, and you are mindful, then you realize you stir because of a wrong view. You cling on to things, you hold on to things, you want things your way, which is not nature's way. Then you have your views, opinion, and conditioning to cause you to stir and react the way you want it to. So when you start to see all this, then you understand. You straighten your view, then you inquire and reflect and contemplate. How can I not stir my mind? How can I not react and give rise to all this craving, leading to all the suffering and the misery? Then the answer will come. Thing is just the way it is, like the Buddha explained. Means the reality is conditioned like that, things be like that. Means if that person, the condition is he is deluded, he will do deluded thing. If he is selfish, he will do selfish thing. If he is violent and angry, he will do violent and angry thing. So they are just the way they are. Nature is, the reality is, people are just the way they are. The world is the world. So you can't change the world. Dependent on certain condition, things will unfold. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. So understand the causes and conditions and accept the reality and move on. Thus I learn to understand, observe what is the reality. The reality is just nature. Nature's what they call manifestation. They are all dependent, originating, condition arising, not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why it's anatta, non-self, not what you think. Even the form and mind is the same. He know you, he know me. That's why the Buddha awakened. Birth, old age, sickness, and death pertain to the form and mind, nothing to do with his nature, his understanding. That's why he know that nature is unborn, unconditioned. If it's never born, how can you get old and sick and die? That one has eternal life, where that is the original state. But neither mimu, original nature, true nature. That's why that nature is very beautiful. That is the oneness nature, and that is the one that enlightened being realized. The form and mind must cease to realize that. Then you will come to know all this anger, fear, negativity of mind state, they are not intrinsic within your mind. They are dependent originating. They arise because of your wrong view that condition you to stir and react. That's how anger arises. That if you have the mindfulness and the awareness and the sensitivity, you just stay with it, maintain awareness and don't feed it with any more mental energy, then the awareness will purify. Yeah, it's wisdom energy. Then you will see it cease. Then the mind become very calm and very cool and very tranquil again. Then you realize, hey, that is amazing. Anger was never me. Fear was never me. All these were never me. All these are the mundane mind, dependent originating, condition arising, no reality. It has the universal characteristics of impermanent. It come and it go. It's all dependent on condition. It arises. That's why it's called paticca samuppada, dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon, no reality. He no you, he no me, it come and it go, it come and it go. And if you want things your way, which is not nature's way, if you attach and cling and grasp, that is sakkaya ditthi, self-delusion. That's suffering will follow. Because if you want thing your way, which is not nature's way, following the nature's condition, then you are being gullible. You are being deluded. You will suffer because nature takes over. That's why you have to accord and flow with nature. Condition like that, things will be like that. Let it unfold. Accord and flow. That if you want to change the condition, you must have the capacity to act in such a way, following the wisdom way and the nature's law, to actually arise the causes and condition for things to manifest in a certain way. That's how we apply the Dhamma way, to have the good life. Because we know the teaching, we know the truth. The teaching points towards the truth. So when you understand the teaching, you understand life, you know how to live life, then you know how to arise the causes and conditions for you to transform your life, to change your life for the better, to awaken, to be free. So this is the most beautiful. I read on the last paragraph. Then the four noble truths, one by one, you will come to understand them. You will come to understand the realities of life and existence, what is suffering, and the cause behind suffering. Then there is a note down there, the seven universal mental factors or concomitant, they are as follows. I think in Pali it's called Sabbacitta Sadharana. Cetasika. These are the seven universal cetasikas, or mental factors or concomitant. They are common. Saddharama is common to all consciousness. All consciousness is sabbe citta. Sabbe is all. Citta is consciousness. So sabbe citta, saddharana, common to all consciousness. They perform the most rudimentary and essential cognitive function, without which consciousness of an object would be impossible. So the seven universal are, they are cognitive function. Passat is contact, then feeling is vedana, then sanya is perception. Chetena, the spelling is wrong, is volition. Chetena, this one is M. Then this one is the typing, typing. We still need to correct quite a lot of things. Then Ekagata is one-pointedness. Then Jivi Indriya, life faculties. Then Manasikara is attention. So these are the seven universal. Okay, I think we end here. We are 10 o'clock already. Okay, we end here. The next lesson, we will continue. Five ways to overcome unwholesome mental states or negative mental states. Okay, good. So now we can rejoice first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this appendix summary are all very useful, very important. It summarizes all the important key teaching and understanding for cultivation. Okay, now we can open for meditation reporting.
Brother Phil, good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening to all government staff. Yeah. I want to share something about this
Sadhu, yes.
Dhamma in daily life.
Ah, very good, Sadhu.
Lately, something happened, you know, like I feel it's end up so beautifully, you know. Just that at that moment, I just I just keep myself relaxed, composed, you know, to the situation. Then, I don't look back. But overall, a lot of things happen very beautifully, you know, and things will go by its way. So I tell myself, most important, we are, in a way, sincere in settling the problem, and I mean well, then everything will go by its
then
way.
Then things will go your way, you're right. You can give example. Huh? You want to share the example of what happened?
My sister's problem, my sister's...
Yes.
Then I have some misunderstanding with my niece, you know. My quite unhappy. Then she's trying to get me into problem, you know.
Okay.
As we are, you know, auntie, try our very best, wish her all the best, you know, wish her well and all that. But she rather agitated and all that, you know. Yes. But surprisingly, when in the hospital that time, just the officer came over and explained everything, you know. So everything went so smoothly, you know.
That's good.
So I find that if you have wholesome heart, you know, wholesome and
sincerity and a wholesome heart goes a long way. Yes.
That's a force to help you out, you know.
Because this is based on the Dhamma way, nature's law. It will unfold beautifully.
And also a few times, I know, also things that you feel that is our problem, you know, going to end up everything settled so well, you know.
Very good. That's why you will have faith in the Dhamma after that.
Quite miracle.
Yeah, very miracle and amazing. The Dhamma is very beautiful. And when all this happens, it gives you faith, it gives you joy. Then you will have the faith and the confidence to continue to do what you are doing, because you can actually see the result. It's not just heard from people. Witness what happened. Sadhu to you. That's why I can hear the joy in you. Sadhu.
Thank you so much for your
teaching
as well. Thank you.
See you. Can you introduce yourself, CY?
Ayen.
Ayen. Yes. Tom. He is my... No, not Tom. Ayen. Ayen is Tom, isn't it?
Tom, yeah, same.
Tom. He is my nephew. My sister's son. Ayen, you want to share something? Say something?
Not sure, but just beginning to experience the self awareness or mindfulness. So sometimes a bit surprised when the feeling comes. Suddenly awake again.
Suddenly awake. Then very quiet, very peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sadhu, very good. There is big improvement. He is very new. And he only recently developed the interest and connect to our Zoom. Sadhu, very good. So continue to relax.
Okay.
Then maintain awareness. So toy tien.
Okay, can. No problem.
You can speak in Mandarin also.
Yes.
最近有可以感觉到就是那个 Dhamma 的 understanding 变成很像它不是只是在那种就是在读的那种 knowledge 的那种 level 了。
对。
那个 understanding 比较在 daily 里面能够看到那个 Dhamma 也就是你可以 accept like 那个 Dhamma 是applicable to the daily
daily life yes
就是 like for example like 很容易的就是 accept 那种 treat right view like 就是当有 incident happen 的时候，就是你就是第一个的啊 response 就是哦 law of karma 哦，然后那个啊，就是在里面你可以就是看到就是来就是 link to 的那个 dharma
因缘法，嗯
啊对，连那个 dependent origination
啊，连你能够接受，嗯，
呀呀，
做 manasikara， 嗯，但是你一了解了啊。你能够接受了、啊、你看东西不一样了， your mind will not be like before reactive commentative and all those things 没有了， then 你会笑， you have more and more moment of joy, then you will just let things be, then if got condition only you share you help, otherwise you let things be、很好啊、that's very good, that's what Dhamma is all about、Then what about、yeah.现在 sharing， 你有什么你要加进去，还是 advise other people？ Well, I know you read through the Heart Sutra book, and today on the summary of the practice and cultivation is very good.
哦，就是，不然就我每次吼，
嗯，
我每次在听的时候哈、啊，哇，就是一听到一半就是。睡下去了，哎呀！
没事，嗯 ，just let it be， 嗯 ，let it
be。没事哈，
你的 nature 要 receive 那个 vibration， so let it happen， 不用紧，都不用紧，嗯 ，maybe 呢，嗯，你回去你读了，嗯 ，six point three the last paragraph onward， 嗯，哦，你听那个 recording 了，嗯，听了 recording 才 next。session 才 you have something to share because you are familiar with the teaching then you have gone through and you can actually advise people because what has been explained is very detailed and very complete so if they really know how to based on their understanding they go in they will progress very fast they will improve very fast so that is the part whichI foresee、you can actually have the understanding to share with other people. 听先咯，听
啊，这很就是讲，就是就是要在要很勤劳的去 cultivate 啦，就是 according to 那个啊那个 sequence.
Yeah.
有点啊，我来。Like, 我们一定要有那个 five spiritual faculty, 也一定要 understand clearly and cultivate. But cultivate 的时候就是很要很 sincere, 要很有 faith 的，就是 just do it.
对 then persevere, don't try to know, forget about not telling you, then just don't analyze, don't rationalize and don't reason, just do it and understand.
But, 我发现到这个当很 important 就真的很 important 就是那个 mindfulness the more 你去 cultivate 去 stabilize 在 in the daily
对
the more 那个很像 like 那个 Dharma 的 understanding 啊、就很像他自己 unfold 这样
自己 unfold 的
对 like 你就很像就在 daily 里面 like 我很像我最近我觉得诶怎么你看事情来就是用 Dharma 的那个、那个 the way 来去、就看啊、就很容易的就是去 apply 了去看到
对
啊
对那个 Yoniso Manasikara 很重要 you realize 啊那个 Dharma understanding keep on arising on 它 prompt that's why you know how to act so you act according to that Yoniso Manasikara which is right view right understanding the wisdom wayThat is the true action. That's how you act. You don't act according to memory. You don't project your thought, the fear, the views, the opinion, the conditioning, the reasoning, the what they call thought process, knowledge, no more. You don't go and analyze things anymore. Why this guy like that? Why the world like that? Why my boss like that? Why the government like that? You don't go and analyze anymore. Well, that is the way it is.Condition like that, things be like that. The reality is, then with that understanding, you can be at peace. you can accept the reality of the moment. Then you can just observe and let it unfold. Then you can actually live your life beautifully. This is what Dhamma is all about. And it's getting more and more interesting and more beautiful, more amazing. I realize more and more Kayamita now is starting to experience some of the fruits of their hard work. Even Karen starting to develop the joy, the understanding. Then for you all have moved actually beautifully, and many Kayamita has developed the ability. My nature rejoices, sadhu.
In fact, 昨天就是我的office 啊，就是我的工作啊，就是有一个啊，有个 case， like actually 就是啊，因为我是 deal in the company secretary 的那个 job
啊、okay.
，so in fact 有一间公司，他要换那个 secretary
哦、
已经 more than 一个半月了。
Actually
我们已经 received 了那个啊、resignation letter。然后呢，公司讲他要换 ，and then 我 deal with 的那个 new 的那个 company secretary， 他讲他们在等那个 document， 然后我一直去 follow up 那个 customer， 我讲你的 document 已经交给那个secretary 了嘛？他讲他交给了一个啊那个 agent， 叫那个 agent 交给他，哇，一个半月了，等昨天我的老板知道了，我老板就很就很生气，就是讲。啊，
还没有处理，
啊，为什么一个半月了？Actually 我一直在 follow up， 我其实我每两个礼拜我都一直在 follow up， 我觉得这个是一个很 easy 的一个 job， 他只是把那个 document 交给 secretary 啊，对方那个对方就可以 proceed， but end up 1.5 months， 那个 document 都不懂去哪里了，哇，我就就昨天我就每一个。我就没有紧张 ，actually 我也不懂要怎样 deal， 就是我一直问，我一直问每一个，每一个都讲搞定了，然后就每一个就一直推来推去，所以我就
他说交给那个 agent 谁
啊？哇，连那个 agent 又不要啊听我的电话，哇，那个 agent 是很头痛，然后我就一个一个的就这样子去打电话。去哇塞，哇！等我的老板又给我 pressure， 哇！一定要 settle it， 然后哇又找不到那个 agent 来 solve 这个 problem， 哇！然后就 like， but 我就是一直
echo echo。agent 是 appointed agent
啊，
那个 agent，
那个 agent 是那个 customer engaged 的，他们 engaged 他的 actually 有一个
最好就是 go back to the customer or your client and tell them your agent is not picking up the phone and we can't get hold of him to actually move the whole process.
That's why 我 call 回 customer， 那 customer 讲我一个月前已经交给他， but 那个然后这个过后我就叫这个 customer。就是 contact， 因为我 contact 那个 agent， 那个 agent 不要 pick up 我的 phone， 然后我又叫 customer 就讲，customer 去 contact 那个 agent， 那个 agent 讲他已经交给了那个对方了，然后对方的那个 assistant 又一直讲他没有收到，就是哇，我就这两天我就一直在打电话，然后我自己讲，然后 but 我没有来。react 也没有什么，就是一直就是去 find out， 就是去 from。一直电话一直打 but surprisingly 最后给我发就是给我知道了，我就跟那个那个因为那个 agent 最后他讲他已经交给了那个 secretary 一讲他没有收到，然后哇那个 telephone 我就一直 call 去 but end up because 我明天就要 take action， 我的老板就要听我的reply， 然后立在刚才在下午4点的时候，整个 case 才 solve 掉，才 resolve 掉，就是 like 就很像你不要急也没有 react， 就是我一直打电话 from there 我去 find out， like suddenly 他就整个的那个 case 他就慢慢的就这样子浮上来，来就让你看到 哦、yeah. 原来是在谁的那一边 end up 那个 document 就出来了。
Oh, no wonder.
我不懂是谁，因为每个人在推来推去，因为 involve 四个 party， 我问来问去，没有一个人讲他收到。我也是很奇怪，我后来我心想 that, 然后我就觉得讲 one and a half month 了， maybe 就 go back to the customer， 我想 maybe 再叫 customer resign， but 那个 customer 我又、哦、他我又 worry maybe 他的老板会不高兴，会 react、yeah. 为什么 one and a half month 整个东西没有做，所以我就一直去打电话、嗯、一直去 find out， 一直、哦、我也没有急，也没有什么，就这样子、哦、suddenly 那个 document 就这样子 appear 出来、嗯、哦，原来已经在那个 secretary 的那个老板的手上。
哦 no、啊、好的、啊、这样他们就可以、
啊、but 我
yeah very good
that's right。 所以那个四点的时候他的 assistant 就跟我讲他 immediately proceed、no?
啊好
啊，所以整个 case 就 settle 哇，我就看到了，我讲哇，如果是以前我已经哇吼，
真的很生气，
对啊，对啊，就是很多会很多的 fear， 会很紧张，
嗯，那
because it's more than one and a half month， 因为如果是因为 more than one month 了以后就有 penalty 了，
呀呀呀。
其实已经是 involve penalty 了，但是连帅我的老板是很不高兴，他讲 who is going to bear， 连他也不要再和拖这个 case，
对，
哇，连帅，我讲如果是以前我就很紧张了，然后 document 又找不到，然后每一个又推来推去，
嗯，你
就是
很好，嗯，you learn a lot of things。That's why the Dhamma way is very, very beautiful. And 你会经过很多 then 你了解 what I used to share with you all last time. Whatever happened, don't panic, don't react, don't get angry. Just solve the problem. Make a decision and solve the problem. So for me, I just trace one after another. Then it will surface. Like they say, okay,if they told you that they already submitted to that the agent submitted to the office, then just check with the office. If the office say no, then one of them is not telling the truth. So you can ask the agent, do you have any confirmation of acceptance? Normally they will chop and sign, receive. Then with that, you can use it to refer to the secretary, the company. Then the company cannot deny where the ball is back to their feet. Then normally I will just solve it, then no issue. But if it's really urgent or what, like you say, involve cost, deadline over or what, then of course it's an oversight, then it's a reality. So no amount of blame or finger pointing is going to help. What is important is get the thing resolved.So when we talk to people, we have to apply Noble Eightfold Path. Then when you have the understanding, there is no like fear, emotion and all those things, or anger or whatever. No, you just resolve things amicably. Yeah. So that is how the Dhamma way can be very helpful. So application of the Dhamma...
因为那个 agent 我也认识的、
oh,
但是他就是 like 他很连因为那个 customer 也知道这个 agent 的做事情很、哦 yeah. 有头没有尾、
oh.
somehow 我就一直 call 这个 agent 就不接我电话，我也很奇怪 maybe 就是一个 test 还是什么、
yeah.
那个 customer call 他又马上接，他又跟 customer explain，
嗯，
哦，但我 call 我，因为 because 我要 find out， 因为我每一个 party 我都去 call out， 我要知道到底这个东西在谁那边，
嗯，
就是这个 agent、嗯、不要接我电话，哇，我 but anyway 我也 text 他，我也没有 react， 我就是 like、嗯、就是 apply 那个你啊八正道这样、嗯，我用很 polite 的那个way去问他、嗯、啊。 Yeah.
Very good. That one will help. That one will help.
所以就在整个的 incident 就看到 就是哇 真的是要有很
yeah,
很 stable 很 firm 的那个 understanding 跟那个 mindfulness.
Patient is
yeah.
Then mindfulness.
对.
And when you are mindful, when you are patient with the understanding, I realize everything get resolved. When you text or message people, make sure you do it nicely. Then they will really understand that you are not the nasty guy. You are not the guy that trying to like point finger all this thing. And sometimes I give them the benefit of the doubt. I say, maybe you are busy or what, I don't know. Have you received my earlier message? Then somehow 他们自己会不好意思的, you know? They will reply to you. Yeah, I deal with this, we call it the tenant for, I told you last time, I joint venture with somebody, the industrial estate shop lot in Kepong Entrepreneur Park. This place, difficult to get tenant on. So we got hold of one tenant. I think it so happened they do internet cafe, but they promise us the license, all those things. And it seems the guy running is, I think they all also from that background, you understand, like they don't speak English, they speak Cantonese and they speak, I think Mandarin a bit. So it so happened, I deal with a few, just keep on changing. Doesn't last more than 3 years, 2-3 years, they change. Then surprisingly, at first, I heard people say, hey, you don't play a fool with this stuff. This type of people don't talk logic. They don't, they are not how Hao Xianxian. But I was so surprised when I text him and gave him the benefit of the doubt. He kept on coming back to me. Then he explained to me what happened and all those things. Then he gave me a lot of info. Then he helped me to solve a lot of things. Then finally, before he leave, also he helped me. He said, Mr. Teo, he said, 目前是这样，新的老板是谁? Then the phone number, all he gave to me, you know. He said, 我已经跟他讲了，他知道了 all the history. And he resolved it for me very nicely. Then the new guy that take over also, surprisingly, he is a very busy guy, but this is a direct guy. I think his boss, I think. So his boss or his new boss, I don't know. Then this guy has the immediate power to bang in the rental. After I follow up a few times, I say, 张先生，我知道，这你这个我已经，那个以前那个谁已经 brief 了，但是，你给我两天，我就处理好。Then after that he say he will bang in the 2 month rental all those things. Then he say from now onward, I will make sure before the end of the month, I will bang in for you. So everything was sorted out. Then later on, he wants to give up the place also. He talked to me very nicely. Then I said, no problem. I said, you just let me know when. Then I get the agent to go. And my agent very good. My agent did everything for me. I show my daughter and my wife also. Oh, this agent really go all out of the way to repair a lot of things for me. Oh, and handle it very well. Sadhu, very good. That's why you do it with understanding, with patience, and the approach using Noble Eightfold Path is very important. And people can feel you. Somehow they can feel you. Then there was one case, I remember, after the handover. I went there and actually witnessed the handing over. I want to know what happened. I don't want the agent to just do everything without me knowing. So when I was there, that tenant that rented from me, you know what he told me? He said, Mr. Teo, 我从来都没有遇到这么好心的老板，好像你这样，你不会好像骂人啊，还是 threaten 人啊，还是做的，你什么都可以商量了，商量到比较 average 进去啊，a lot of things. I say okay, never mind, no problem. You go and fix it. I will pay for it. And whatever request, if it's minor, for me, I just want to resolve issue. So he actually complimented me. You know, he said, I never had such a good tenant. Then there was another case that inshallah I shared with Simon also. After the new owner, the lawyer, bought over, he increased the rental, you know, by many, not 5, 10% or 12%, by 30%, you know, until that old tenant called us, you know, say, Mr. Teo, how nice you don't sell. He said, you are the best owner, a landlord that I have come across. This new guy is the lawyer. He threatened us. He said, if we don't sign, they are going to take back the unit. He said, there are a lot of tenants waiting. He said, we all do business. How can overnight you raise us by so much rental? So you will go through a lot of this and experience. Then you will learn and you will evolve the way you understand things. But these are worldly matters that need nobody full power to resolve. And there are many approaches to a problem or a situation, and the solution can turn out to be beautiful if you have the number. And how? So, salute to you. Rejoice.
Sadhu.
Okay. Otherwise, we need to. Okay, very good. Let us rejoice. Okay. Then we end. We are 10:32 already. Sadhu. Sadhu.
Sadhu.